first time I heard that song, I was a young Christian man. And I still am. But it was something about that song that moved my heart. I never thought that a man could actually feel the very presence of God. Because we were so used to going through life that, like, we just exist. But until one day, when the Holy Spirit filled me with His presence, some call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it was from that day forward that my life with Christ have never been the same. It was from that moment forward I can look at the scriptures and they would come alive to me. And I could hear certain songs before the Lord and I can sense God's presence so overwhelming. Even if the singers make a mistake, I can still feel the presence of God. Amen? And so, folks, this is huge. This is powerful. When a man and woman gets a visit by God, that's something else. And when God's children come together and the Lord Jesus Christ is present, do you realize how awesome that is? I mean, God came all the way from heaven just to be with you. That's something else. Amen? And you drove all the way from your house, wherever you come from, just to be with Him. Even though you carry Him in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's something else. Now, we had a brother go through some difficult times this week. This past week, shall I say. But as I began to sense God's presence and to pray for him, you know what the Holy Spirit had me just simply say? Tell him the Holy Spirit is with him. He belonged to the Holy Spirit. And because he belonged to the Holy Spirit, no matter what report man says, God got him. He's going to be all right. Amen. Come on, somebody. Because he belonged to the Holy Spirit, he's going to be all right. And it just overwhelmed me. I just said, okay. Sent the message out because I knew what God had did. Ain't God good?
All the time.
So what you're about to see this morning, in a few minutes, the Holy Spirit is getting ready to take us in a different direction now than what we've already been going in the scriptures. As we continue our journey in the book of Revelation, as we're about to see Lord Jesus is getting ready to put a halt, a stop to all evil and the fury of Satan and his likes. Jesus Christ is about to consummate and to bring everything to a closure. On earth. Not just on earth, but in the heavens also. He's about to give a fatal blow to all wickedness, like you and I had never seen before. He's about to cap Satan and put a stop to his brutal assaults, his attacks on the human race. But yet, before that happens, there's going to be a great climax. There's going to be a shift. A shifting from the nations back to the tiniest nation on earth. God is about to show you something in a moment that you've never seen before. Things that politicians are talking about today. Things that they don't want to talk about, but it's happening right in front of them. God is now steering history back in the direction of Israel. Are y'all hearing me? God is about to focus, and what we're getting ready to see here in the scriptures today is God himself is directing these nations, and they don't even know it, that God is making a strategic move. Any chess players in here? God is about to set them up and say, checkmate. Hey, come on, did you get that? God is shifting. He's shifting. And you know what? God don't lose battles. God doesn't lose wars. Because the greatest general in the universe is God himself. And his name is Jesus. Come on. And we're about to see him. Get ready to go to battle. But before we go any further, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Honest, I'm just going to tell you. I'm subject to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And whatever he brings out, we're going to live with it. Amen? Is that okay with you all?
Yes.
Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you allowed us to come here this morning together in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. And Lord Jesus, at your very name, demons shake at the mentioning of your name. Heaven's attention is focused when your children shout, Jesus. We get the Father's ear when we call on your matchless name. And Lord, the universe literally moves on our behalf when we call on your holy name. And this morning, Lord Jesus, we are about to see the supremacy of Jesus Christ. We are about to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords show forth your power in a way that we've never seen before. So Holy Spirit, speak now, for your children are listening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Sister Vicky. Revelation chapter 20. I don't know if we'll get through it today. I'm hoping we will, but if we don't, that's okay with me. And I want you to understand something here. Last week, we looked at something that was so magnificent. We looked at Satan being bound for 1,000 years. Can you imagine that? No hell on earth for 1,000 years. That means no drive-by shooting. That means the evil one can't go and deceive people. Okay? And how the angel of God came down with a mighty chain in his hand and bound Satan and cast him into the abyss and shut the door. And there he will remain for 1,000 years. And the scriptures tell you and I that there will be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth where the saints will reign with him for 1,000 years. This is called the millennium reign. And the word millennium comes from, it's a Latin word, which means 1,000. And here you will see the saints of God, those who was martyred, will come alive and be with Jesus and rule for 1,000 years. So where are we right now? We're at the end of the 1,000-year reign. And this is the part where you need to be paying attention. Because at the end of this 1,000-year reign of Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, are going to step back. Are you hearing me? And for a certain amount of time, Satan will be released from the abyss or the pit. He will be released. And the scriptures tell you and I, during that short period of time, Satan is going to come out to the saints with everything he got. Can you imagine from the day that he walked in the garden and deceived Adam and Eve to the moment up to that point in which he was bound, this spirit, thousands of years of human history, can you imagine in that time period, the human race hadn't seen nothing yet from Satan. Not like what he is about to see now. He's coming, Christian, with everything he got to destroy every saint, to destroy everything that have God written on it. Everything that mentioned the name of Jesus, he's trying to destroy it and wipe it out where it doesn't exist anymore. And he's going to be deceiving people into believing that he himself is God. And the Bible tells you and I that there's going to be a new temple built in Jerusalem. You all heard of the Wailing Wall, right? Where the Jews go and they stick this paper with prayer on it into the cracks, and they stand there and they bow and they pray. Okay? That is the remnant of what's left of the old temple. Well, the scripture tell you and I that Jesus, when he sat up on the Mount of Olives, when the disciples came to him and began to brag about how wonderful and how grand the temple was, Christ told them, he said, I say to you that one stone shall not be left upon what? Another. He says, coming down. And in AD 70, under Emperor Nero, it happened. Except the only thing that's left is that portion of the Wailing Wall. In order for the prophecy to be fulfilled, that portion of the Wailing Wall must come down. And folks, there is talk right now of people want to blow the Wailing Wall up. And when that happens, that makes room for a third temple. The temple that you read about in the book of Ezekiel. We're going to be going there this morning because the scriptures here is going to lead us there. And we're going to be looking at some language that you are not familiar with today. It's a very complicated language, but yet the Holy Spirit will make it very simple and very plain to you. Amen? Let's look and see where John is at now. As Jesus have this man, this old apostle, sitting at the attention of life theater, and he's watching history unfold. As history climax, as things begin to happen. See, you all, we have been safe. We have been spoiled by living in the continent that we're in, North America. Because we have two bodies of water on both sides of us, and primarily, that's why a lot of nations say they never attacked the United States, is because of the two large bodies of water. Well, the real reason is because the hand of God has been protecting us. Okay? But folks, people in this country don't know war like a lot of other countries do. This time, this thing is going global. And it's going to be so intense. And people that's going to be on the enemy side is going to be so deceived. They think they're the victors. They're walking into a battle that they think they've already won. And they think it's going to be a walk in the park, Don. They think it's really going to be like a hot knife going through butter. But oh, they're about to get a surprise. Let's take a look. Revelation chapter 20, we'll be picking up in verse 7. Go ahead and give amen when you're there.
Amen.
Now when 1,000 years have expired, that means the millennial rule of Christ has ended. That means the custody, the confinement, the heavenly confinement of Satan is now over. The Lord Jesus Christ is backing off. So now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. The very angel that bound him is now going down, and he's going to loose him. And if you don't think that old devil hadn't been mad since 1,000 years... If you don't think he hadn't been thinking and conniving and strategizing on how to get even with God, you got another thought coming. Because he had a lot of time to think about this. Verse 8. So he's going to be released from prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Folks, that completes the entire globe. Okay? That means every nation under the sun. And here, what follows is what is unfamiliar language to you. This is the part in which you need to listen very attentively and hear what the Spirit of God is about to say to you, because what's going to come out of this here in a few minutes is actually happening today. As of last night, the plan has been put in motion. The President of the United States has signed the deal. And folks, things are about to happen. So let me encourage you. Pay attention. Because God is speaking. So now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Take note of those. To gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, a beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Let me stop there, because we must go back to verse 8 in order to get a full understanding of what God just showed John. Even though the narrative here is so small, yet the picture is so enormous. John would have used up an entire volume of the Bible just to explain this battle. And he began to give you and I a picture of what's taking place in chapter 16 and verse 16. It says, and they gathered together in a place called in the Hebrew, Harmageddon, or in English, Armageddon, which means Hill of Megiddo, properly translated from Hebrew to Greek to English. Okay? What is happening? Where is Megiddo? Megiddo is situated in northern Galilee. It is exactly right below Nazareth Ridge, where Jesus Christ our Lord grew up at. It is right south and east, this wide open plain known as the Jezreel Valley. Megiddo is a small compound, small enough to fit all of First Baptist campus on it. Anymore, it would be too small. And so this is the place in which the armies of the world are going to come and gather. Why? Because to the east, west, right there at the end of the Jezreel Valley is Mount Carmel, and one of the ancient seaports lies there, Sidon, one of the greatest seaports in the world of its day, conducive for ships landing and unloading equipment. Also, the wide open valley out there is good for helicopters to land. And because it's so flat, you can land jets there as well. So it's a good marshaling place for military folks. And you know that term from being in the military, Brother Don. It is a good place for them to rendezvous and get their armies together. Okay? But now I'm going to ask you to do something here, and we're about to make a connection in the spirit. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37 now. Ezekiel is before the book of Daniel and after the book of Jeremiah. Okay, after Lamentations, then comes Ezekiel. Chapter 37. Now God has done with Ezekiel what he has done with John on the island of Patmos. By the Holy Spirit, he has moved this man from Babylon up into the atmosphere where he can look down and see what's about to take place. Okay? So y'all thought jets can travel fast? Can't nobody faster than God in the spirit. Amen? So what's about to happen here is this prophet, this old prophet, is about to see some stuff into the future. The same thing that John is looking at now in Revelation chapter 20, several hundred years prior, the Holy Spirit is showing the same thing to the prophet Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is probably the most complicated book in the Old Testament. A lot of hard imagery to understand. So as we go back, we got to make the connection in order for you and I to understand what God is about to do on the earth. What Lord Jesus Christ is saying to John, John knows what's about to happen. And he's writing it down the best that he can. Same thing for Ezekiel several hundred years earlier. God is showing him what's about to happen into the future. There are no names of his day for the things that he's looking at. But the region, the land is still the same. The names may have changed, but the region is still the same. Okay? And so the armies from those regions, you need to understand what they're about to do. But first, God is about to do something with Israel so that you and I can understand that God has not cast his people off. And you'll get to that in Romans chapter 11. We will see that. And so, understanding the plan of God. When God puts a plan in place, that plan cannot be spoiled by any human efforts. Amen. Okay? And no demonic spirit can spoil the plans of God. When God says something is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, you can take it to the bank. You heard a testimony from Sister Vicky earlier about something that God started with them 2009. God brought it to pass recently. Let me tell you, God is always on time. Hundreds of years may have passed, but God is always on time. Okay? So this is where we are. The greatest battle in human history is about to take place. And this time, instead of having an earthly man lead them, it's going to be Satan himself. Satan will be the earth's army's commanding general. But guess who's going to be God's commanding general? Jesus. Watch what God says first to Ezekiel before all this take place. Chapter 37. We're literally going to go at a kind of fast pace. So if I lose anybody, tell me to slow down because we're going to cover chapter 37, 38, and 39. All right? You're going to go, preacher, how are you going to do that? You talk too much. Watch and see. Hopefully my voice will hold up. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out of in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. What just happened, ladies and gentlemen?
You saw the end of the battle.
The battle has not yet taken place. The Holy Spirit just took Ezekiel up in the spirit and took him to a valley, a big old graveyard, Don, with thousands of skeletons. That's where he's at right now. And you know what? For a Jew, you got to understand how huge this is. For a Jewish person to come in contact with dead stuff, that means he was ceremonially unclean. Okay? So God took this great prophet and put him in the graveyard. That's where he's at now. But God can do what he wants to. He makes the rules. Amen. So here we are. He's in the graveyard. A huge valley full of dead men bones. Exposed bones. Laying on top of the ground. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. Anybody ever seen bones that's been bleached by the sun? How white they look? That's what he's looking at right now. But they're human remains. Thousands of them. Got the picture? And so, here's what God is about to say to him. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" How would you like to be the person standing there and God says to you, "Tamar, can these bones live?" And you're looking at all these skeletons and you're going, most of them would be dumbfounded. Am I correct? Instead of going, and some of you will hello, creepy. You know, you want to get out of there. But Ezekiel, he's standing there. And watch what he says. Listen. "So I answered, O Lord God, you know." Wow. What incredible faith on Ezekiel's behalf. He's standing there in this huge cemetery, because that's what it's become. And God asks him this question, "Can these dry bones or these dead bones live?" And the man, knowing who God is, immediately exercises faith. Does he not? When he turns around and says to God, "Lord God, you know." Why? Because at that moment he understands that God can do whatever he wants to do. Amen. Amen? And that's how he wants you and I today. We need to be remembering that Lord God can do whatever he wants to do. And so when we go to him in prayer, we can say, Lord Jesus, you know, this situation seems helpless, but you know what you're going to do. Amen? And say, we're leaving this in your hands. So that's where we are right now. Ezekiel standing there going, "Lord, you know." Again, he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them," listen to this, "O dry bones, hear the word of God." Now, Don, your colleagues in the business world would think that you're absolutely crazy if you got up and began to speak to dead bones. As a matter of fact, Tammy said, "Well, we got to do something here. Elaine, we got to call somebody because Daddy done lost his mind." Right? And Maurice go running out, "Mama, Dad out there talking to dead bones." All right? But can you get the picture now? God is asking a man to preach to dead bones. Now, if I go over there to Hot Spring Cemetery and start preaching, y'all say, "Somebody need to call 911 and help that boy." Well, this is exactly what Ezekiel was doing. Under the direction of the Holy Spirit of the living God, he began to preach to dead bones. Huh? And folks, you have got to have some faith to do that. And many of you are living in a life where there's a bunch of dead bones, and God has said to you, "Can these dead bones live?" And you're going, "Oh God, but you know." And God tells you, speak a word of life into him. You go, "Lord, are you sure? They are dead, God. The situation is dead, God. Nothing else can be done." And God says, "Speak to them." And you're going, "Okay, but you know what's going to happen." Watch it unfold in front of you. So, thus said the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. Did you get that, Tammy? That means a hopeless dead situation, such as the case was with Israel at this time, God was saying that you are going to speak, and when you speak, breath is going to come into those bones, and they are going to live. The word breath here also can be translated as spirit. In other words, when the Spirit of God enters something that's dead, it comes back to life. Oh, somebody heard it. When Jesus says, "Speak," and you speak, guess what happens? Life comes. Amen? God knows what he's doing, folks. God knows what he's doing. And so here we see a very complex, hopeless situation. And yet God said, go and do it. And this prophet stands up in the valley of dead bones and began to speak the word of God. Wow, I'd love to have been there to witness that. So here we are, again and again and again, looking at God about to take the impossible and make it what? Possible. And so, then you shall know that I'm the Lord. When God told Ezekiel, he said, listen here, when you see this happen, you're going to know that I'm God. Did not God solidify your faith? 6 years you've been praying, and then God brought you an answer. What did that do for your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Did it not just strengthen it?
Yes, it did.
That's what God does. That's what the purpose of signs and wonders. When God does something beyond what we call normal, it is done for the sole purpose of him glorifying the Son. It's done for the sole purpose of you and I, our faith can get strengthened in him. And we know that when the tougher situations come our way, we can say, wait a minute, I know what God did with the dry bones. I know what God did with those dead bones. Amen. And I know that he used me. I was a part of it. Can you imagine that? The little boy from Archer, now part of something great. I spoke the dry bones in the name of Jesus and they came to life. Because your name is written on it. Okay? But let me move on. The situation is really about Israel here in the end times. But God threw that little caviar in there for you. So he's looking here. So I prophesied in verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Y'all know that old elementary school song?
Those dry bones.
Yes. Yeah, think this had anything to do with it? Did you hear up here, Don? God is poetic, isn't he? Listen to this. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over. But there was no breath in them. Otherwise, there was no spirit in them. They were still considered as what? Dead. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath or to the spirit. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Amen. Folks, even though this is about the nation of Israel, this is what you can glean from this today. There's no situation in your life and in my life or in our country, anywhere else, that is absolutely hopeless, because the Holy Spirit of the living God could bring life back to anything.
Amen.
Do you hear me? The Holy Ghost is the one who gave life to Adam. When God breathed, that word breathe means spirit. When the Holy Spirit went into that dirt became a living being. The breath of life. So don't tell me, if he can take dirt and make you and me, he can take any situation and bring it to life.
Amen.
So, I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Folks, this is now a great picture of the once downbeated army of Israel. That God is going to raise this army up to army of prominence once again. And this time, he's going to make them better than they were before. Much larger, much powerful, much more amazing to the human eye. Okay? So much that it makes this young teenage boy look back and say, did you see that? And make you go home and tell mama, you got to go and see this. Mama, daddy, come with me. You got to see this. Can you imagine on that day, Ezekiel going and getting him and say, come with me. I want to show you something. What? Where are we going? We're going to the Valley of Dry Bones. What are we going there for? It's nothing but dead people. Not anymore. What do you mean? Come and see. And he gets there and he sees a whole army looking at him. And he faints. Because he can't believe it. Okay? Folks, do you understand what God is about to do here? God is about to resurrect some stuff in Israel. And nobody's going to be able to touch him. Let's go on. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. How many times have you and I said that before God when situations have hit us? Said, Lord, there's nothing else can be done. The doctor turns off a machine. Or the boss gives you a pink slip. Or your daughter or son gives you the finger. But whatever the case may be, and you go crying and say, God, it's over with. And Lord Jesus said, come here. I want you to speak a word. Just like he did in the nation of Israel through this prophet. I want you to speak a word into your situation. I want you to speak life back into your situation. Because it's not all hopeless with me. We got to remember, everybody sitting here, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is hope. Amen. Period. Amen. So these dry bones, it's now full army representing the entire nation of Israel. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus said the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come out upon your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. People, when God promised that land to Israel, he knew that millions would die over the years. But he promised something to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that promise was, I will give this land to your descendants forever. Amen. What do you think that means? 2,000 years? 3,000 years of human history? Maybe four if stretching it? Forever means what? Forever. And remember, the Bible tells you and I over in the book of Numbers, through the mouth of Moses, that God is not a man that he should lie. Okay? Or the son of a man that he should repent. Have he not said and will he not do it? Will he not perform it and bring it to pass? If God has said something, he is surely going to do it. God just told us that he's going to resurrect the entire nation of Israel. From the first baby that came forth for that nation. And that first baby was who? Isaac. All the way to the last one. God said, I'm about to do something here. Okay? Do understand this. So that means now, if Israel is being resurrected, some think it's symbolic, some think it's spiritual, but let me tell you something. Whatever God does, he's going to make it happen. Amen. All right? And the nations of the world is going to know that Israel is getting ready to have a shift in it. And it's no longer going to be the weak back nation that other nations perceive it to be. And God is getting ready to set them up in such a fashion that the nation of the world, through the eyes of Satan, is going to get jealous and going to set out to destroy Israel. We're about to see that now in the scriptures. So hold on to your horses and get ready. Because the nations that's going to be a part of this, you're going to be surprised. Watch out. I will put my spirit, verse 14, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So it doesn't matter how long it was since God made this promise. He's going to bring it to pass. It doesn't matter, Don, how long ago that the Holy Spirit showed you some stuff about your life and he promised you some things from the Lord Jesus Christ. God is going to bring it to pass. Do you understand me, people? When God says it, he's going to do it. Verse 15, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, as for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions, then take another stick and write on it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companion. Then join them one to another for yourself, and to one stick, and they will become one in your hand. That seems like a riddle, doesn't it? Well, it is. And here's the interpretation of the riddle. When King Solomon had sinned against God, God told him he was going to split the kingdom. Because under his father, King David, initially, the kingdom was split. The northern kingdom, which consisted of 10 tribes, and then the southern kingdom, which consisted of 2 tribes, which was Judah and Benjamin, they were divided. Well, under King David's leadership, they became one kingdom. And under that, God built them up, a very powerful nation. And then when David died, Solomon took over. Solomon started off quite well before God, but then he went out and he married all these foreign women, and these foreign women caused Solomon to sin against God. And God said, because he had done those things, that he was going to split the kingdom. He said, but not while you're living, but I'm going to do it under your son. So God took Jeroboam and Rehoboam. One was the general of the 10 northern tribes, and the other one was the son of Solomon. And God gave one the northern kingdom, and the other one the southern kingdom. And they never got along since then. They even went at war at each other many, many times. You read in the book of Kings, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, okay? Read the word of God and see how these kingdoms really ended up. And then eventually, the northern kingdom, God allowed the Assyrians to come against them, broke them up, and they never came back as a kingdom. And then sometime later, about 100 years later, the southern kingdom, Judah, God allowed the Babylonian, the king Nebuchadnezzar, to come in and to conquer them and take them into captivity for 70 years. So they went back into slavery for another 70 years. And people, after the 70-year period, God allowed just a remnant to come back. It was through that remnant that the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Okay? But they never ever went back as an entire nation. Never was a monarchy again. Okay? Never. It wasn't until 1948 that Israel became a nation again. And even since then, other nations around them have sought to destroy them. So this is where we are right now. Even though those nations were split, God said, I'm going to make them one again. Okay? And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, will you not show us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus said the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hands of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. And the sticks on which you will write will be in your hand before their eyes. Then say to them, thus said the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. Folks, what's happening right now around the world? Anybody know what's happening with the Jews that have been scattered around the world? Anybody know what's going on with that? Say it again.
They're coming back to Israel.
They're coming back to Israel. The ones that are in Russia, The ones that's in Ethiopia. The one, now they just found, from understanding, two tribes in southern Africa. Am I right? Yeah, Jewish. Yeah, they, believe it or not, there were black Jews. So Solomon was as black as me. Shelly got a kick out of that one. So they're coming back. In fact, there's an evangelist by the name of Mike Evans. Years back, I used to send money to him, and that's one of the things he helped do, help get tickets for the families of Jews who can't afford to come back home. And they're asking, I'd like to start that again someday, very soon. Help them come back to the homeland. Because remember what God has said to Abraham in Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, and do what? Curse those who curse you. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Amen. Okay? So we need to be a blessing with that. Amen. times are being fulfilled. The prophecies are being fulfilled. How do you and I play in that? Stand by and watch here. Stand by and watch. You're going to see your role here. Okay? Verse 22, and I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them. Who's that king going to be? Anybody know? Who's going to rule Israel?
Jesus.
But King David under him. Because God promised that there will never cease to be a man to sit up on David's throne. God is going to resurrect David. Okay? But Jesus Christ will be the sole king over this universe. Amen?
Amen.
So, moving right along, it says, and they shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will clean them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Wow. David, my servant, shall be king over them. You heard that? That means God is going to resurrect King David. And they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwell. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. My servant David shall be their prince forever. Which is also another messianic name for Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one going to rule over the house of Israel. Yes, ma'am.
When you said never again be two kingdoms, two nations, does that mean that in today's, what's happening today, that Israel, they will not give up their land?
They will not give up their land.
God says it's not going to happen.
God said it's not going to happen. Okay? Israel will keep their land. And matter of fact, the borders in which they're restricted in right now will be broadened. They will go back to the original borders. All right? And verse 26. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know. You hear that? The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Now, chapter 38, you're about to see something new. And this is ties back into Revelation chapter 20. Okay, where we were earlier. We only got a few minutes left, but you had to understand that God was establishing Israel of old. Okay, he's going to make them better than what they were. He's going to make them stronger, more powerful than ever before. And now God is getting ready to show you that something over time is going to happen here. how the nations are going to come together as one and how they're going to go up against Israel. Verse chapter 38. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against who? Look at your text and tell me.
Gog.
Gog. Is that not a name we just read in the book of Revelation?
Yes.
So you see, this prophecy goes way back. So, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, Tubal, and prophesy against them. All right, let me tell you what these regions are. Gog and Magog. Gog is Russia. It is the old Soviet Union coming back together again. What do you think is happening right now? Anybody know what's going on right now? Vladimir Putin is resurrecting the old USSR. People, you got to allow the Holy Spirit to show you this stuff. All those little countries north of the Black Sea, they're coming together again. Who's Magog? Magog is part of the old Assyrian Empire. Are you ready for who they are? And you're going to be surprised. People in which our country are going to become allies with. You ever heard of Turkey? You ever heard of Lithuania? Bosnia? You come on down through that area, in the Caspian Sea area. And you get on down, and you go to the east a little bit, and you're going to hit old Mesopotamia. Modern day what? Iraq and?
Iran.
Oh, somebody listening. Tubal, you know who that is? That's Libya and Kush, Ethiopia. These names you will see in the text here. All of them eventually are going to ally together. And their focus is one little tiny place on the face of the earth that's 150 miles wide, long, and 50 miles wide. The land of Israel. And we'll pick this up next week. I told you we may not get very far today, didn't I? In Revelation chapter 20. But it's so much, Tammy, to unpack, because on the stage of world history, we need to see these events take place, because God says these things are going to happen. And he's going to come against these nations that has come against his people. But in order for that to happen, these nations have got to come together again, don't they? They have to be resurrected in their power in order for them to be deceived. And that's what's happening right now. The Egyptians, the Libyans, the Ethiopians, you're going up, the Syrians, the Armenians, you just keep going. The Turks, Iranians, Iraqis, keep going. And you're going to hit these folks all the way till you get to the Soviet Union. And the folks from the East is going to come in and join with them. Who's in the East, people? Who's in the East? You ever heard of Beijing?
China.
China. Okay? The house of the rising sun? Who's that?
Asia.
That's Japan.
Oh.
All them folks from the East are going to join in. Yes. That's why God said it's going to be an army that's going to be so big. John said their number was like the sand of the sea.
Is this
But this is after the thousand
reign. This is after the thousand year reign. And so if we get ready to close out this morning, remember, 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord. It's just a rambunctious grandbaby right now. Grandmama know what to do. And so, God is on the throne. Right? Jesus Christ is waiting for the right moment, as has been laid out in history in heaven, according to the will of God, the plan of God. These things are going to come together. As you're reading through the text, in Revelation chapter 20, a lot is happening. A lot. And it's a lot of time there. But as we're reading, we don't really pay attention to the time and the events, because we're so accustomed to just read and read and read, and we don't think about time and events that much. Excuse me. But people, God is putting things together. While you're sleeping, politicians are making plans. Generals are at the war tables. And they're coming up with ways, and they're coming up with weapon systems for one purpose and one purpose only. That's the annihilation of Israel. And they don't know why they're doing it. They don't know whose control they're under. But it's happening. And you know who's a part of it? Your very own United States is a part of this scheme of Satan. That's why you see God telling his saints, regardless of what nation they're in, come out from among them. No matter what nation you're in, if you belong to Jesus, he's sending out the call, and he's telling his children, come out. Okay? Because that world system, when it comes together, and its headquarters is going to be called Babylon, where all the decisions are going to be made. And God's saying to his children, hey, you, come on out. Come on out. Pack your stuff. Matter of fact, don't even pack it. Get out now. Leave. Step back. And then they're going to watch the fury of God unleash on. Okay? What you heard last night, as Deacon, I was outside talking to God, did the Holy Spirit give you my sermons? This stuff is incredible. The word of God is true. Okay? And it's all to show forth to humans and to demons that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's exactly who he says he is in his word. Unchanging. And he's going to reveal more and more of himself to his children. The Holy Spirit is going to bring more and more of this into your mind so that you can understand it. With every head bow.
No.
I want you to understand that Jesus loves you. The once appeared to be timid carpenter that allowed men to chain him to a pole and beat him beyond recognition and then forcibly had him carry an old cross beam through the rugged streets of Israel, known as the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. to a place called Calvary. And there, the Prince of Israel, along with the leaders of the Gentiles, nailed Jesus to a cross. They had no idea, brothers and sisters, who it was they were nailing to that cross beam. They had no idea who it was that they was about to lift up. And they had no idea who was watching from heaven. Because this same Jesus who's now battered, whose body is now broken open, they were about to see in a different manner. So Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise your holy name. That for the glory of God, you're going to come down here and you're going to show men exactly who you are. And you're going to conquer that old devil. You're going to destroy his army. And you're going to cast him into the lake of fire. But before you do all of that, a lot of things have got to take place on the earth. And we see that the nations are now starting to move themselves in position. And they have no idea what tomorrow's generation is about to do. But you do. You've laid it out for us in your word. And we see these things happening. Lord Jesus, will you honor the Father on our behalf now? Will you glorify him for us? And Father, will you glorify your Son Jesus with the glory that you two had before the world was? In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. God bless you. To God be the glory. Bye.